This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Yes, I wonder, what can I do? Things are so disturbing today. And so, I wonder, what is it that I could do? But then I think, can I do anything? What is my mission as a Christian?
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What I'm going to discuss today is, what is the mission of the church? What is the mission of the church? Now, when I say that, some of you who are Christians out there might be thinking about spreading the gospel message. And you would be correct. That is part of the mission of the church. But I believe there's more to the mission than just spreading the gospel. Now, we can turn to scriptures like Matthew 24:14, which reads like this: "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So there's no doubt about the fact that the gospel message is primary when we think of the mission of the church. We can also turn in Matthew to Matthew chapter 28, and I can read verse 19 to you. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And we know that this is part of the mission of the church, to baptize new believers, make them disciples around what this message is all about. But is there more? Is there more to the mission of the church? I believe there is. Notice verse 20, right after verse 19 in Matthew 28, "teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, sometimes when you hear people speak about that gospel message, they forget about verse 20 here in Matthew 28. So what are these all things that Jesus is talking about here? One of all of these things is over in the book of John, John chapter 13. I'm going to read you one more scripture there. John 13:34 says this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." So when we think about what is the mission of the church, yes, it entails getting that gospel message out there of a coming kingdom of God to this earth. It also deals with the person of Jesus Christ, the fact He lived, died, was resurrected, and only through Him can we achieve eternal life. And now we're stumbling upon some other things relating to this mission when we look at what it says in the Gospel of John here about loving one another. Now, you probably have heard that before. You love one another. That's what Christianity is about. But there is more, and we're going to look at that question on today's program. Now, before I get to those other things, to that more, we want to offer you some free literature on today's program, and we want to offer you a free CD. Now, the booklet I'd like to offer you on today's program is titled, "The Church That Jesus Built." Jesus Christ promised that He would build His church, and that His church would never be destroyed. But what did he mean when he said church? Was he speaking of an organized entity run by bishops, archbishops, and other prelates? Did he authorize apostolic succession to ensure that his church would forever be able to trace its origins directly to the apostles? Get this booklet to find out more about this interesting topic. We also want to offer you a free full-length sermon CD titled Faith, Hope, and Charity. Now, this CD addresses more of the mission of the church, which includes faith, hope, and charity. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by going to our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to the website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. That's www.cgi.org. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us on today's program of The Armor of God. Now, what we said at the outset was we're looking at the question of what is the mission of the church? What is the mission of individual Christians within that church? And we also mentioned that, yes, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God is part of that mission. Preaching about the person of Jesus Christ, that he lived, that he died, that he was resurrected, that only through him can we achieve eternal life. That is definitely a major part of the mission of the church. But Jesus said to his disciples, preach what I have taught you to the new disciples. Preach everything that I've taught you to the new disciples that you baptize. And we saw in the book of John chapter 13 and verse 34 that it talks there about having love one to another. What we're going to do in the remainder of the program is look at what else was part of that mission when Jesus gave his marching orders to his disciples. Now, I'm reading an interesting book by Michael Gorman, and Gorman's book is titled Becoming the Gospel, Paul, Participation, and Mission. And he looks at the epistles of Paul, and he finds evidence for what this mission is all about outside of course, the gospel mission and preaching that mission that we have of the gospel and what that is all about. So that's what I'm going to do in the remainder of the program, deal a little bit with what Gorman says in his book about the mission of the church and individual Christians within that church. We'll be dealing with 1 Thessalonians, and we'll go into Romans a little bit, and we may mention a couple other writings of Paul within the New Testament. But let's begin over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. I'd like to read you a scripture there. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 1, this is a salutation of Paul, a greeting to the church of the Thessalonians. He says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying this church of the Thessalonians is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He uses that phrase or that idiom a number of times in his writings, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what exactly does it mean to be in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, you've probably heard about getting Jesus in you, okay? That we want to emulate Jesus by getting Jesus inside of us. And that happens at baptism. When that Holy Spirit comes upon you, when hands are laid on you and the Holy Spirit is imbued in the believer, we get a little piece of Jesus in a sense. His Spirit comes into us and begins to help us live our life the way He wants us to live our life. But is there more to what it means to be in the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ? Gorman believes so, and I want to address a couple of the things he says in regard to this. Now, he turns back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, and I'd like to take a look at that verse in Romans 1 and verse 5, where we start to get a better understanding of being in the Father and in Jesus Christ. It says in Romans 1 and verse 5, "...through whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name." So through whom we receive grace and apostleship for what? For obedience to the faith. To the faith. Now again, that word faith is very familiar in the Bible, but let's take a closer look at what this obedience of faith is, because it is what we are when we are in the Father and in Jesus Christ. If I turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're going to take another look at this idea. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'm going to pick it up in verse 3. "...that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain." Now, what's interesting here is we've got to go back and understand the context here at the church in Thessalonica at this time. They were suffering some persecution, as many Christians were at this time in history. And Paul is telling them, expect this. This is going to happen to you. If you are a true believer, if you're following this way, persecution is going to come upon you. And these churches were definitely enduring it and feeling it. And he wanted to make sure that they understood that this was normal and they would have to deal with it. He also does this in Romans 16. Romans 16, and I'm going to go there to verses 25 and 26 in the book of Romans. So at the end of the book of Romans, Romans 16 and verses 25 and 26. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith." We see that phrase again. You have to be obedience to the faith. That faith which was once delivered. That faith in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you were obedient and faithful in the way you should be, persecution, trials, tribulations were going to come upon you. And Paul wanted to prepare the believers for that. Now, if we think about that, in our modern day of today, in the United States, it's very easy for us to be Christians. We are not, for the most part, being persecuted. Not like in some other countries where people who do believe in Jesus Christ may have their heads cut off. They may be kidnapped. They may be persecuted in other ways because of that belief. Now, should we think more strongly about this obedience to the faith? Because sometimes when things are easy, folks, we have a tendency to backslide. We have a tendency to forget what our first love is all about. Just something to think about. I'm going to revisit this towards the end of the program. Is there more we should be doing, especially those of us who are believers in the United States? Should we seek persecution in some way? And how could we do that if we were to do that? Something to think about. I'm not advocating anything yet, but I want you to think about that question as I move on to a second major point about the mission of the church today. Another point about what Jesus taught and what he wanted his believers to know about their mission in this world has to do with that concept of love that we read about in the book of John. Once again, I'll go back to 1 Thessalonians because we're kind of going to stay with that church today and the message that Paul brought to them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, I'd like to bring another concept to the fore here. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And that's what we read over in John 13:34 a little bit earlier, that we are to love one another. So no one is surprised by that statement of Jesus. But is there more than just loving one another, loving our fellow believers? Let's see what else it says here. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 5, and we're starting to get a little different view of this. No doubt that this is true, to love your fellow brethren and help them and support them. But notice Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, before many of us became Christians, Christ died for us. Some of us were doing some crazy things. Some of us were doing some outrageous things. Christ died for everyone, ladies and gentlemen. He died for people in prison. He died for Islamic terrorists. He died for everyone. Now, as believers in Christ and trying to emulate Christ, do we need to take that mindset on? That this love is not just for our fellow brethren, but is this love also for the outer world? I believe it is, and let me support that contention. I want to turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. Notice what it says. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Now, it doesn't define the all here, but I think it's very clear when we go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, who that all is that he is referring to there. In Romans chapter 12, let me pick it up in verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And then get this, therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Folks, what he's saying here is even if you're being persecuted, even if you have enemies out there, continue to do good to them also. Because through that counterintuitiveness, this will confound and confuse them. They will see that you are different, you are unique, because most people are going to strike back against their enemies. They are not going to love their enemies, but that is the message of Jesus Christ. And he lived that message. He took it from the Roman authorities. He did not fight or argue. He went like a lamb to the slaughter. And through that example, he has shown something unique and different from any other religious leader in history. We need to be that same example because we are followers of Jesus Christ. That is part of your mission as a Christian, to take on that same mindset as Jesus Christ. Live your life as an example like Jesus Christ. Now, I know that is difficult. I know that is not easy. But that is what you're up for if you want to achieve eternal life. If you want to live forever, you've got to do some work, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus paid the price. There's nothing we can do to achieve salvation. It only comes through Him. But we have to try to emulate Him and be like Him. That is part of our mission in this world. There's one other point I'd like to make as we begin to wind down. When you think about this example of love, how are we doing it in the world? You see people going and doing volunteer work. Many churches will go out there and do volunteer work. We have a youth group, a young adult group within our church called Infuse, where we are doing different things in our communities. Right now, we are doing a making of mats for the homeless campaign, where we're using plastic bags to construct mats, and we're giving them to the homeless. Now, many people don't want to deal with the homeless. Jesus would be dealing with the homeless if He was alive and walking the streets today. We as Christians need to be thinking about examples like that. The last point I'd like to make on today's program, we've dealt with faith, we've dealt with love, we now want to look at hope. Hope springs eternal for a Christian. If you believe in eternal life, if you believe in a kingdom of God coming to this earth, you have to be hopeful. You have to exude hope all the time because of what you know and what you believe. And we see that example being set for us here back in 1 Thessalonians once again. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let me read to you what it says here. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. What's he saying here? There were many people a couple thousand years ago in these communities who did not believe in a resurrection from the dead. There are many people today in the world who don't believe in a resurrection of the dead. Back in the Greco-Roman world, people would weep and wail and go through all these machinations when people died. It was a very dramatic scene back at this time in history. And what he's saying is, you have a hope in a future of eternal life. You need to let other people know about that hope through how you act when people are dying around you. So how might a Christian have acted a couple thousand years ago within their community when they saw maybe a family member who was not a believer die and they may have gone to a funeral? They may have had a great opportunity there to show by their presence that they believed in something different than what those folks were believing in. And by their calmness, they may have made an impact on their family members or friends by telling them that I am okay with death because death is not the end. Jesus will return someday. I will be resurrected from the dead, and you can have an opportunity for that also. So there was a chance there to talk about that gospel message by living this hope inside of them and then portraying that to the world around them. Now, today, as Christians, we need to do the same thing. I recently went to a funeral where many people believed that the person who died was going to go to heaven. That's a perfect opportunity for me to talk about the resurrection and mention what I know about it, and that when Jesus comes is when the dead wake up, when the dead become conscious, when the dead are raised, but right now they are asleep. Now, in each of these examples that we've gone over today, these examples of faith, love, and hope, we've seen that it's been a public display of some sort when we go back to what the Thessalonians were doing. They were being persecuted because they were not buckling under the idea that you had to worship the Roman emperor. Because of that, they faced persecution. That was a public thing that they had to do. You had to publicly acknowledge that the Roman emperor was a god, and the Thessalonians were not doing it, and they were getting persecuted for it, as were many other Christians who were living at that time. Now, living in the United States, is there something we can connect back to that experience today? Well, when we look and we see the freedoms that we have in the United States, we can go out there and protest abortion clinics. We can walk around an abortion clinic with a sign if we wish to. We can write a letter to the editor of our local newspapers against these changes that are coming to our society socially. The Bible talks about marriage and says it's between a man and a woman. We have to get into the public arena when new laws are being created like they are today that say a man and a man can marry each other or a woman and a woman can marry each other. And you know what? We may face a little persecution for it, but you know what? That's okay because Jesus, our Master, says you will face persecution if you are really following me. That's the story in the Bible. That's part of the mission of the church. We cannot lose sight of that fact. This is not an easy road. We need to get out there with our communities doing volunteer work. We need to be working with the homeless. We need to be working in prisons because that is part of the mission of the church. And again, that hope, you need to exude hope. As a Christian, you've got to have joy because of what you know, what this story of the Bible tells you, what the truth of the Bible tells you. Please know that this is also part of the mission of the church. Now, remember to get that free booklet that we talked about. It's titled The Church That Jesus Built. Also get that free CD titled Faith, Hope, and Charity. These are free of charge. All you need to do is call us toll free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. You can also order by going to our website. You can go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Do the mission of the church. It's a big mission. I know you can do it. Get out there and get it done.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.